Welcome to the Maria Heller Show. On the net since 2000 and still going strong. If you feel like you're not getting the real news, if you feel like you're not connected spiritually, you have found your home. Maria covers a wide range of topics as only a snarky New Yorker can. Straight up, no chaser. No censorship, no corporate sponsors, thus true freedom of speech. Your subscription gives you unlimited access as a member of the smartest audience on earth. Relax and enjoy the education. Now here's Maria.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Awaken with Maria and Monica, with my friend, my co-host, a gifted woman, Monica Sepulveda. If you're not familiar with her work, get over to monica.com with two N's. Link right here. Good morning, Monica. How are you?
Maria, I'm doing well. How about you?
Well, it's interesting. Ever since I said we're going to do this show on dreams, I know this is going to sound really weird, but I've had three dreams so far with get this, Gregory Peck in the dreams.
Oh, isn't he dead?
Yeah, he's long dead.
So he visited you, huh?
Yeah, and I'm like, what's Gregory Peck doing in my dreams? It's not like I've seen any of his new movies.
Did you at least get pecked?
No, I didn't even get that. But I just couldn't get over how slick his hair was. That was one of the things that I noticed, how slick his hair was.
Was he using Bro Cream?
Maybe. Bro Cream. There's an old name.
Well, he is old, so.
I mean, it's not that it wasn't a pleasant dream, but it was just odd. I was like, okay, why is he blowing through? So I kind of looked at the initials, you know, GP, try to make some sense out of that. But then I had been looking at on YouTube some old Hollywood stars, and I guess that might have blended into my dreams those particular nights.
Oh, and it does. Right. It does. Whatever, you know, people have to be careful when they go to bed at night. Like, I set my timer for 30 minutes so I can go to sleep. I don't like to walk into a dark room, so I just have night lights in every single room, so my house is never dark. It's just a weird thing. So I guess because I've seen too many apparitions, so I'd rather that they be a little bit illuminated so I know who they are.
Well, for me, my family makes fun of me because my room has to be absolutely pitch black.
Oh, my gosh.
And they call my bedroom the cave. I actually literally have three layers of protection on my window in my bedroom. I have heavy Venetian blinds. I have a sun-screened out pull down blind, and then I put dark out curtains on top of that. So they call it the cave.
It is. No kidding. We'd have the opposite effect here. I don't know. I've had a lot of really lucid dreams lately as well, too. And I thought, okay, we know that everybody in the dream represents a part of ourselves, unless you are influenced by something that you saw, like you just said.
Right.
And also be careful, the listeners, that if you do set a 30-minute timer to help you go to sleep at night, you know, on your television set, that you have it on a comedy channel or something that's going to be lighthearted and fun, or music. Sometimes with music, I'm sitting here, like, in my sleep, you know, like, rocking back and forth, so that didn't work for me, so I chose comedy. But if you leave it, like, on the news or, like, on a criminal show...
Oh, yeah, there's no way you're going to sleep. I like to watch. No. I like to watch some cartoons before I go to bed, usually Family Guy or American Dad. It kind of just washes the whole madness of the day out of your head, which is interesting because that's one of the questions. We have a few questions from listeners. One of the questions she said, and I hear this all the time, and I've heard this for decades. Okay, so she's not alone in this. I want you to know you're not alone in this. She said, I was hoping you and Monica could speak to my situation. She said, I very rarely dream. And it's not that I don't remember. And when I do dream and remember, it's disjointed and gray. I just don't dream anymore. She says, I've been diagnosed with a serious neurological condition, and I don't know if that affects me in this way.
Well, I'd like to address this.
Okay.
Okay. The reason why is because what happens is that when we don't take any breaks during the day, like let's say we work through 3 and 4 hours and then we take a break, we have to take a break every 2 hours to let the left brain rest. If not, what happens is it gets overwhelmed, and when you go to bed at night, you just basically, you're like out like a light, and your brain, even though you're dreaming, it won't remember anything because it needs to rest. So so it doesn't recall. The only time a person actually really recalls anything is if they have a nightmare, and that's because a message is trying to get through and let us know that there's something important we need to learn. So nightmares actually aren't bad at all. But if you were to take breaks every two hours, even for 5 minutes, that would allow her left brain to be quiet for a while. The right brain would start giving her information, and she would start remembering her dreams. But people do dream.
Absolutely. So, I've heard people tell me all my life, you know, I don't dream, I don't remember my dream. There are a lot of really good techniques to help you remember your dream. And yeah. For a lot of parents, I always suggest that they get a dream catcher and put that above their child's bed, especially if that kid is having nightmares.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, a lot of people think there's, you know, it's hogwash and there's nothing to it. But the truth of the matter is there's a lot of power in a lot of these power symbols.
Yes, absolutely. And the symbols all refer to us.
Right.
It's just teaching us about ourselves, as you know. And dreams are broken up into categories, three parts. The first part of the dream usually starts off when, let's say, we're a child. Like, I remember all my dreams used to start off when I lived in my very first home that I have complete recollection of, when I was 6 years old. And it would always start off in that house, and I was wondering why. And what it's telling us is a particular thing that's manifesting in our lives right now. It's showing us the genesis or the origin of where that particular behavior or belief system started. So for me, coming from, you know, a place that where I was abused a lot, you know, physically mm-hmm. and verbally, my insecurity started there. So it always takes me back to when I'm really young. And then the middle part of the dream tells us exactly how something is manifesting right now in our lives. So it feels disjointed, but if you know this particular three-part system, it's easy to understand it. And so the third part of the dream always has to do with it's a solution, so to speak. It's how to solve it. So dreams are very much teaching dreams. And I love how it breaks it up into three parts like that. The best book to get is by Betty Bazar. It's called The Dream Book.
Absolutely. I've recommended that book for about 40 years. I haven't seen it.
And then she keeps adding more symbols to it. Like mine's outdated. I only have 1,600. Now she's got like 2,500 symbols. You know, so on Amazon or whatever because people sell their used copies. You don't have to spend a fortune, you know. You spend more on shipping usually.
I think the soft cover I have, it probably cost me 50 cents when I bought it. But here's the other thing about symbols and symbols in books, and I like her book. Believe me, I've recommended it for years. Mm-hmm. However, here's the difference, and I try to explain this to people. When she or any other dream book gives you explanations for dreams, or this, you know, you see a cow, it means this. You see this, it means that. The truth of the matter is the symbol means something different to everybody. So I could have a dream about a string of pearls that'll mean one thing to me, and you could have a dream about a string of pearls, but it'll mean something else to you because pearls mean something else to you.
Right, exactly. We do give things meaning. But I noticed that her book helped me out a lot because we were on the same page. One of the lessons I teach, which is the third lesson, is creating a symbolic list. So you start writing down different symbols and write down what your meaning is.
Exactly.
So even when I give a reading, if I see somebody like a tornado heading a person's way, I know that that's trouble, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that they're about to hit something that's going to be majorly challenging, but I've given it my meaning. A church bell to someone may mean marriage and happy times and peace and harmony. To another person that maybe lived next door to a church, it means annoying.
Right, exactly. So, you know, these generic meanings are great when you start out and you're starting to work with your dreams, starting to journal your dreams, trying to interpret your dreams. But the bottom line is your dreams are highly personal to you and your meanings have to supersede that. It's kind of like reading your horoscope in the newspaper. That's just a generalization.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a big difference between that and, you know, having a real astrologer do your progress chart, you know.
Exactly. And, you know, dreams, they have so many layers, even for one symbol. Like you take a house. Okay, the house is going to represent you, but you have to look at the state of the house. Is it a shack? Is it a mansion? How about the upstairs and the attic? What does that represent? Higher mind. Is it dark in there? Is it scaring you? Maybe that person has difficulty going into spirituality because they're scared of it. How about the basement? Again, the unknown. What about the bedroom? Needs more rest. What about the living room? Needs to play and relax more. How about the kitchen? Nurturing. You know, every part of the dream and every part of that house has a whole bunch of different meanings based on where you're located in the dream.
Right.
So you have to take one symbol and give it tons of meaning. So creating your own symbolic list is going to take time. When you use something like Betty Bathard's book, that'll help you because she's got so many different symbols. It's hard for people to think of over 2,500 symbols, but she can help you with that. So I always tell people, create your own symbolic list so you know what it means. And guess what? When you're standing in front of someone and you see one of your symbols above them, let's say something like a Jewish star, then you know that person's Jewish. So you're already getting insight because you've already programmed your brain to give you information via symbols, which is the best way to communicate anyway.
Right.
I mean, if you were German and I was French and I said, would you like an orange? You would say, you know, qu'est-ce que c'est? And I would like, I don't know what you're talking about, you know.
Right.
But if I were to hand you an orange, then you'd say, you know, thank you in your language because pictures speak 1,000 words. So the universe communicates to us in pictures. Animals communicate to us in pictures. And dreams communicate to us in pictures and symbols.
Exactly. You know, years ago when I wrote my book on the medicine wheel, most of it was heavy duty research and reality, you know, the story of my life. But when I got to the part where the animals, the plants and the minerals were listed, that was the hard part because spirit had said to me, or my oversoul, higher self, God, whatever you want to call it, said, you know, all these people out there have been teaching the meanings of these animals, these plants, these crystals. But as just the same as humans, they're constantly evolving and there are new messages. And that part of my book was literally given to me. So it was kind of an updated, it didn't discount the meanings of whatever it was before, but it added another layer to it because people forget everything evolves.
Yes, you're absolutely correct.
So for people out there that have my book and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, and I get people that write me, you know, oh, I keep seeing this type of a bird. What does it mean? I'm dreaming about, you know, an elephant all the time. What does that mean? The truth of the matter is I got to get my own book out and look it up. Okay. I can't remember all that stuff. You know, working with your dreams, you know, and maybe that's the difference between you and I, you know, when you talked about you need to have night lights on. For me, because I had the experience of going out of body into the cosmos. And when I was out there, what amazed me was everything was pitch black, but everything was there.
Yeah.
So for me, if I don't have, so if I don't have that pitch black, I don't start seeing behind my eyelids visions. Mm-hmm. I'll start seeing people's faces. I'll start seeing objects. And then I know when that kicks in, I'm going to fall asleep any second.
Yeah. I think I was influenced a lot by my dad because he was an electrician. And he was very careful about utilizing light switches because he said, you know, when you turn a light switch on and off, it's a surge. And that's when your electric bill goes up to the frugal Capricorn. So he said, if you put night lights around your house, you don't have to turn any lights on because they use such low wattage that you actually go in there. So the practical part of me remembers that. But then I got so used to that throughout the years, now that I'm in my 60s, that now every room has a light and I like walking into a room that's lit. Even my kitchen has 3 night lights.
You wouldn't like my house. I keep my house as dark as possible all day and all night. If I could get away with a 40-watt bulb on, the only light in my house, I'm a happy person. But then again, you know, living in Arizona, I mean,
Maria,
living in... What?
I have ambiance.
Ambiance. Well, you know what? Living in Arizona, I learned a long time ago, block out the sun. Because otherwise your house is going to be impossible even to air condition.
Oh, I can imagine. We've had hot days here just in the last week, and it was like, I'm used to being on the ocean where it's nice and cold. This was really rough on me, you know. So,
wow.
But the other thing, too, is my dad taught me to use timers, and I have these floodlights with low wattage, and I put them on the ground, and they face up.
Uh-huh.
And what you do is you set the timer to turn on all your lights at the same time, like mine turn on at 8 o'clock or 8:30. And so my house is lit and it's very ambient. And how do you say it? Ambient. It has a lot of ambiance. Thank you. And then they turn off. you know, like, let's say at midnight, so I don't have to even deal with turning anything
on. I will tell you, the outside of my house only has motion detector lights. And I set them for 3 minutes. I don't even want it on longer than that. I don't want anything interfering with the night sky when I'm sitting outside.
Yeah, they're so bright that if anyone walks up to my front door and that sensor light goes on, it scares the shit out of them.
Okay, so before we dig deeper, because, you know, I used to teach people, I used to actually teach a seminar on how to interpret your dreams, because I love dreaming, and I do dream for other people. Mm-hmm. If people touch me, you know, not just, you know, in passing, but say mm-hmm. my masseuse, my chiropractor, people like that, I actually dream for them, and I can tell that the dream is not for me, it's for them. And in the beginning, when I had this chiropractor in the valley, such a doll, you know, I gave him his first and second level of Reiki because he's such a great healer, and I prefer mm-hmm. someone who has Reiki working on my body.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, I told him what crystals to carry for wealth, you know, and he did. So, I mean, I saw him maybe, you know, every couple of weeks I'd go in for an adjustment. And then it just became, I was so in tune with him that I would have dreams for him. So I didn't know, you know, and a lot of times when you dream for other people, you question yourself, should I tell them what I know? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when you get a psychic hit for somebody, you know, should you mm-hmm. tell them or not, you know? But I would call him the next day and I would say, Randy, this is the dream I had last night about you. And I would describe what was going on in his office or with one of his workers or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he would just get crazy. He would say, what? He says, how is this possible? That's exactly what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it would freak him out a little, but then he would always listen. And I'll tell you what, he's probably the most successful chiropractor I've ever met in my life.
You gave him a reading while you were sleeping.
Right. So I'm like, okay, where are my dreams? So I'm like, okay, where are my dreams? I don't really need to visit with Gregory Peck, although it could have everything to do with that movie he did on that book that they've banned in certain schools in the United States.
Well, you maybe had a visitation there, Maria.
It could
because there are certain dreams that are visitations. You know, when we go into... when we're awake, we're at the beta level. So, you know, our brain rhythm is about 21 cycles per second. And as we're starting to fall asleep, we go into an alpha level, as you know, and the brain rhythm lowers to 14 cycles per second. And we start having that REM area, which rapid eye movement, that's where we start to dream. It's thought. And then we drop into the theta level, which is a deeper level, and it's 7 cycles per second, the brain rhythm is. And our breathing becomes slower as well. And then the delta is the unconscious. It's 4 cycles per second. And this is when we go out of body and we have visitations from family members who've crossed over. And if you try to wake up a person when they're in the delta level and shake them, you actually can really mess up their neurological system.
Absolutely. We have them.
We have a brain rhythm of sleep cycle, rather, that mm-hmm. you go all the way down to the delta level. You stay there for about 2 hours, and you go back up to the theta level. You have a dream. You come back down a little bit into the delta level for 2 hours. You go up into the alpha level, have more dreams, go back into theta, back into alpha, until you slowly come out of it and you wake up at the beta level. This is why a lot of people don't need to have alarm clocks. And if you want a copy of this particular chart that shows you the scale of brain evolution, you know, I can send it to you. Just email me and I'll send it to you. And I can also send you the sheet that has all the information you need to know about dream analysis.
Great.
So I've kind of condensed it. You know how you and I have studied for like 50 years. We've gathered information for people so that you don't have to study for 50 years.
All right, well, to give you the shortcut. But for Sarah and the others out there who say they don't dream or you want to learn how to, you know, I believe everybody can learn the techniques to remember their dreams. I absolutely recommend the book, The Dream Book by Betty Bettards.
Mm-hmm.
That's certain things, you know, we just have a limited amount of time here on the show, but I wanted to get over to Pat's dream because I found it quite fascinating. And she didn't even know whether she should send it in or not, but here we go. She said ever since she could remember, when she was around 5 or 6, she's had this recurring dream. Okay, circle the word recurring dream, friends, because recurring dreams are the most important dreams you're ever going to have, okay? So she says, first of all, in the dream state, I would see a huge lion's head in front of me, just the head, with huge eyes, mouth, teeth, drooling, growling in front of me. I would wake up and it would still be there. It was so scary, I couldn't even scream, and no sound would come out. Whenever I told my mother would say, is it the lion again? And she would just say it was a bad dream. But she said, I know what I saw, my eyes were open. And then she said, I outgrew it, thankfully, but as I got older, I started thinking maybe it was a past life memory of Christians thrown to the lions or something.
Nope.
Okay, so you can have,
I don't agree with that.
You get the first crack at it.
Thank you. First of all, in the way I've studied and the symbols that I created for myself, I realize that animals represent intuition. And because they're very intuitive. Animals are so intuitive. They can see beyond the spectrum of light that we see. They can see into higher vibration. They can feel higher frequencies. It's 28 times stronger, their emotions and feelings, but they don't cry or use tears, but they feel much more than we do. They're very sensitive, very loving. So an animal represents intuition, but when it's aggressive, that is barking, you know, biting or anything like that, especially something like a dream, it's trying to get about a lion, it's trying to get in her face to tell her that, you know, she needs to start using more of her God-given intuition. And that particular right brain is a pituitary and pineal glands. And, you know, when she's aggressive like that, she's probably holding anger and she's probably frustrated. And things in her life don't seem to be flowing her way, but she's had it since she was very young. I think that because she was so young, she didn't know how to interpret that, but it also brings about a representation of fears. So my feeling is now that she's an adult, she doesn't have it anymore, right? Did you say she outgrew it?
No, she outgrew it.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't call it outgrowing. I think that she probably got more knowledge and information about how to be in control of her own life. So I don't see it as something that's separate from her. I see it as part of her and showing her part of her personality. And she outgrew it because she changed.
Right. Well, you know, I do know Pat, and I know her fairly well. So it's interesting because I have, and I know this has probably nothing to do with dream interpretation, but the way I looked at this note when I got it, I almost laughed, to tell you the truth. Pat and I have so much in common. Obviously, she's a member of our soul group, or she wouldn't even be listening to the show. But first, I'd like to start out with, so hang in there. It's kind of interesting what you just said about the animals and intuition, Monica, because I have my own book in front of me, and I'm like, okay. So I look up the lion, and it says, the modern lesson of the lion is feminine energy. If you're having problems staying in balance with your female energy, work with the lion. If you want to open up to goddess energy, the lion's the animal to help you. I know that Pat is extremely intuitive and has great gifts and a heart as big as Texas, but that's part of it. But what's interesting, you and I have shared this story, Monica, and I don't think I've ever said it on the show. But years ago, I had gotten some hits for David Icke. And I was talking with David, not on the show, and I said to David, I said, listen, I'm looking at your energy field. I says, and all I'm seeing is the lion, you know, this big ass lion. And David's just laughing away, right? And I'm like, what are you laughing at? He says, I don't want to tell you. I want you to wait till you see the cover of my new book. And that was the book where he had the lion's face right on the front. I don't remember the title offhand.
I know exactly which one you're talking about. And, you know, I've been to his house a few times, and he has pictures of lions everywhere, Maria.
Well, I mean, that's obviously his totem animal, but on another level, I don't know if you recall, but years ago, and I was trying to remember the name of the author of the book, couldn't, but she wrote a series of books on different planets, and it could have been Lynn Andrews, I don't know. It was that time period. And I thought a lot of her work was great fiction, but that she was full of crap. But there was a book written about the planet that was inhabited by people that were half lion and half human. And I don't remember the planet's name. It was something like Lyra or something like that. Or maybe it was in the Lyra, L-Y-R-E, star system. But I will say, so Pat doesn't think she's nuts, I have had visitations by this lion man, I would say, for the past 40 years of my life. It's not often when I'm really sick, like one time after surgery, when I came home, I was lying in my bed by myself, and all of a sudden I felt this huge indentation in the bed next to me. I thought it was my husband. I turned around, and all I could sense, I didn't see it, was a lion, and it was like it was protecting me.
Yeah, well, then, you know, the thing about, and also, it represents Leo, and Leo, as we know, are leaders, and they, you know, movers and shakers, they make things happen, king of the jungle, so they're very confident, and I'm sure that your friend has become very confident through the years, and has become very much of, like, let's say, independent.
Oh, absolutely.
If I'm reading her correctly.
Absolutely.
And so now the dream of any kind of lion to her has a different representation.
Right.
It's called, I call it evolving. She's evolved.
Absolutely. You know, when you're young, these things scare you. Listen, I had a lot of things that terrified me growing up. But as I got older and a little more in control and developed my own gifts, I realized a lot of the things I were afraid of were actually my friends. And the beings or things that were there to protect me, but I just was too scared. You know, religion scares the crap out of you. I had so many reasons to be afraid of a lot of the things that happened. But my sense is, you know, having seen that, because I've seen those half lion, half human people, even when my mother died, that's when they came to me to comfort me and said, "You're not alone. We're here with you." And even though they were scary looking, they were like stretched out Chewbaccas. I felt the comfort. I mean, it was really bizarre, but I felt the comfort from it. So it could be a past life. It could be a planet you visited when you were, you know, being not human, when you were free to move about the cabin. And that could be why I like the darkness so much, because I'm free to travel in it. You know, I'm sure the majority of people listening to this show have had dreams where they're flying. And that,
well, I usually go into extraterrestrial spacecraft. So for me, it's like, because I've been in touch with them since I was 4. You and I had an interesting parallel here. We both nearly died when we were like 4 or 5 years old, right?
Right, I was 4.
Yeah, I was 4 years old as well, too. And when you said that on one of your shows, I thought, wow, there's another thing we have in common. But I've been dreaming about extraterrestrials and being on their ships and had incredible experiences. So I knew that they were my friends. They didn't scare me. But before I forget, I want to say something. If your child is having a lot of nightmares like the boogeyman merely means that you're carrying a fear that you can't seem to be able to overcome. But remember that the definition of fear is an absence of love. But with children, they don't know that. So what you want to do is get one of those solo cups or a plastic cup. And you want to write on a little piece of paper, "The boogeyman doesn't scare me anymore." And then you wad it up. You fill up the cup halfway with water, stick it in the freezer, and freeze it. And then, you know, paper floats. That's why you only fill it up halfway. Then when it's frozen, you fill it up to the top and then put it back in the freezer and freeze it so that the message is stuck in the middle. So when the child opens the freezer, they can go, "Ha ha, you don't control me anymore." You know?
No, that's a great idea.
Oh, the child feels powerful. And to make it even better, if you have any food coloring, you can use food coloring on the bottom that represents yucky. And then maybe for girls, maybe pink food coloring or purple or something like that so that they feel better. Mm-hmm. And on the outside, you can actually write the date of when you put that inside. But what happens neurologically is that the brain then starts to install a new program or a thought neurologically into the brain, because that's how it stores it neurologically. Mm-hmm. And then it deletes that other file of that experience, and then the child feels they're in control again, and therefore that boogeyman doesn't bother them. That's one of the best things to do for children. Right. Actually, I do it as an adult.
Well, you know what? I tell a lot of parents, because, listen, a lot of the kids that have come in the past 10 years are, I mean, super gifted, frighteningly so. Okay. And those
absolutely.
Kids trying to sleep, I mean, they're out of body, they're traveling, they're having so many different experiences, but a lot of them have, like you said, they'll have nightmares and you know, the boogeyman thing, whatever. One thing that, and I used it myself, you know, even though my children are certainly not 10 years old or younger, but, you know, my son was very gifted as a child. And I mean, literally, there were times I would see him floating above his bed. Okay. And I was like, what the hell is this? I mean,
well, I know.
It terrified, raising him terrified me. But at that time, I was studying with two spiritualists. They were sisters, and they were fabulous. And I told them, you know, this kid is always like flipping out. He's, you know, he's moving about in his dreams. You know, he's got all kinds of visions. What do I do when he's like in a panic? And they gave me a suggestion, and I want to give this to all the parents out there because this is a great way to break those dreams. Keep a bucket or a basin of warm water by the bed that your child sleeps in. When they wake up with the terrors or screaming, immediately stand them in that water, and that will break that dream, and most probably it will never come back.
I love that. I've never heard it before.
I know, it's pretty bizarre. You know, years ago when, but it works, and every parent I've taught that to, it works for. You know, years ago when I was married, I think my son, God, he couldn't have been more than, I don't know, eight or 9 years old, and we went on a family vacation. We went to the Bahamas. And, you know, the place we were at, I don't remember what island it was. They had gambling, all this stuff. And, you know, my son was old enough where I thought I could just, you know, leave him in the bedroom and we could just go downstairs in the hotel. But something told me to go upstairs and check on him. And when I got upstairs to check on him, he was having fits in the bed. I mean, he was having the worst nightmares going. And I'm trying to wake him up and he won't. And he just looked at me. And honestly, it was the weirdest thing, Monica. He looked at me and he says, Mom, I can't breathe. I'm dying. The rocks are falling in on top of me. It didn't take me long to realize that he had experienced, because the island was formed by volcanic action, that he was re-experiencing a past life death there. So, you know, I mean, I was fairly young and I'm like, holy shit, what do I do now? But I knew intuitively I have to get him to do something normal, okay, something real. So I forced him to stand up and go in the bathroom with me and take a piss. And just the act of standing there urinating snapped him into this reality. And I realized that I needed to ground him for the rest of the trip because I was afraid he would re-experience that. But once, you know, once he was grounded, he was fine the rest of the time. So sometimes, you know, your dreams, even if you're traveling, could be telling you, you know, this is where you died or this is where you had a great life or anything like that.
Yeah.
So you can't discount, you know, revisiting your past or your past lives. And sometimes
and I think a lot of times that there are those from our past lives that come and visit us.
Oh, yeah.
So they're connecting to us as well, which is why I have, you know, so many dreams about ancient things. And I'm like, well, who are you?
Right. Could you
what
be
do
a
you
little...
need?
Right. Sometimes something really special shows up. And my motto has always been, if spirit brings you a gift, who are you to turn it down?
Absolutely. Especially visitations from family members who pass. I love getting visitations. They're wonderful. And when you travel out of body, like, you know, I've always had pets. And I love to be able to visit them when they come to see me. But then they always say, you can't come back with me. So, you know, it's like what they do is they communicate telepathically anyway.
Right.
Because animals usually communicate while they're alive. They communicate using pictures. But when they're, you know, on the other side, they communicate using telepathy. So it's always bringing a tear to my eye when I get to see one of my pets that I had in the past.
Of course.
You know, that dreams, also I wanted to say that dreams have cycles. That dreams that occur between the spring and the fall, they're an accelerated period of learning. So you want to, like people say, well, I don't want to wake up and write down my dreams. And this is the interesting phenomenon that takes place. You don't have to write down anything and wake yourself up and try to go back to sleep. You know, for me, it's like, try to go back to, no, I'll just remember one thing. As soon as you remember one feeling about a dream or one symbol about a dream, the entire thing is released. All of it. You'll remember all of it. And you repeat it once to someone, you'll never forget it. Mm-hmm. So the key is just remember one thing or one feeling you had. And, you know, the other day I had one I couldn't remember, but I remember that there was a girl that came into my house. She started, like, moving my stuff out, moving her stuff in, and said, well, no, we don't need this of yours. Let's put this in. And I thought, this is a nightmare roommate.
Right.
And I've been concerned about finding a new roommate since mine's going to leave. And I thought, this is about me feeling not in control at this point in time. And so I really looked at that because she was representing me, you know, very alpha female. That's who I am. And so, you know, again, everybody, if you dream about an old person, that represents the wise part of yourself. That's my interpretation. If you look at a small child, maybe you haven't been, you know, kind to the child within you and haven't been parenting yourself fairly. Maybe there's too much self-criticism. So everything teaches us about ourselves. That a car represents you. What, you know, what if it's shabby and needs a tune-up? That, you know, literally you can just interpret that
right.
for yourself. But the cycles are really interesting because the spring and summer months are the most difficult to recall, and we're right there right now.
Right.
So some people are going to have difficulty with that. No, October, November, December, they're not predominant because we're integrating the lessons that we learn. And the winter are the clearest and strongest because they're intense and they're spiritual. Time for inner growth. So set new goals during that time, and whatever lessons not learned from the spring to the fall will come back in the spring. That's why people have reoccurring dreams.
Right.
I used to have dreams that there was shit all over the walls. You know, I'd go to the bathroom and you couldn't even use the toilets because of shit everywhere. And I thought, does that mean I need to get rid of my shit?
Well, I would think so. Up against the wall. Monica, we need to take a short break. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Maria. I don't often get to talk directly to the listeners here on the Gary Noll Network, but I felt like doing that today. I know a lot of you really enjoy my show, but you might not know that I do 4 shows a week over at my website, maria.net. So if you're loving the show you get to hear on Sunday, come on over to my site and subscribe, because I've got hundreds of hours of great shows on pretty much every topic in the universe. And that again is maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. And now we can get back to this excellent show. Thanks. Okay, welcome back. We should call it the Dream Show. And Monica and I during the break said we could do 100 shows on this and never, you know, never really cover the whole topic completely. But I did want to add, recurring dreams will keep coming back until you get the message. And those are the ones, like the ones that are so real, you can smell the food cooking in those dreams. Those are the ones that are more important for you. And until
you
deal with it.
You know what else, Maria, is if you don't get the message after having them reoccur, they will turn into a nightmare, which isn't bad.
Well,
a nightmare is trying to get our attention because we're not able to get the message during regular dreams. So it's going to blow everything way out of proportion. But when you interpret it, it's giving you the right message. So it's not a bad thing to have nightmares. It's just trying to get our attention, that's all.
Right. So for people out there, because you mentioned it a little bit before the break, Monica, how, you know, you don't have to wake up and write down your dream, because a lot of people don't want to do that. But, you know, with today's modern technology, and everybody's got a recorder on their phone or their gadget, just wake up and record whatever you remember from that dream.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because, you know, maybe by the afternoon you're going to forget it. You know, for me, you know, back in the day, you know, I kept a dream journal for so long, I can't even tell you. And it was a little arduous because it was all handwriting in books, you know. But then, you know, when the computer came along, it made it so much easier to go back in, look at your dreams, see if they were premonitions, if they were precognitive, if they were warnings, if they were some kind of healing dream. There's so many ways of looking at it. If they were precognitive or predicting the future, how many days or how many weeks ahead were you correct on the timing? There's so much you can learn, but when you put it all on a computer, you know, you can just start a new file, you know, and call it, you know, my dream journal. It makes it a lot easier, to the point where you don't have to spend a lot of time. You know, now I'm at that point where when I wake up, I stay in the bed for a while and I review the dream and I review it and I think about it and I interpret it.
Yeah,
but that, you know, but that takes years. You know, it took me years. I don't know if it'll take everybody else years, but it took me years to get to that point. And also to trust your dream. But people are saying, but it's just a dream. So what's the big deal?
It's just a dream. Okay.
Well, that, right, but this is just a dream. You know, Native Americans say that when we're dreaming, that's the real world, and that this world is the dream.
That's right.
So, you know, it's up to you how you're going to look at it, because to me, this is like a continuing nightmare. I wake up every day and say, shit, Groundhog Day, I'm still here. but I mean, I've gone places in my dreams that I know are real. I know the people there are real. I know them all as well as I know anybody in this existence, and yet I know they're not here.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, I look forward to that. I look forward to going home. Some nights before I go to sleep, I program myself. And while I'm sending out my Reiki, I'll say, I want to go home just for tonight. I want to go to this particular home, you know, because I have several on different planets. I want to go visit my friends, you know, here, there. You know, for a while, you know, all my dreams, I was working harder than I work here, doing the same thing, but to a more receptive audience. But I know it wasn't on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So you can program yourself to dream. You can program to get an answer to a question or an issue you're having before you go to sleep. And one of the things, because you said you get a lot of visitations from people from your past or past lives, etc., in your dream space. Usually mm-hmm. when somebody crosses over and that person on this side who's still missing them, I say if you want to contact them, write them a letter and put it under your pillow, because the best, easiest way for spirits to contact you is the dream space.
Yeah, you're right.
And, you know, generally within 7 days or so, that person will appear in their dream and answer that letter.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, people say, well, I already asked. I said, well, did you just ask once? You know, ask every night until they come through. I mean, it's like we have to be polite and invite them, because otherwise it's kind of like walking into someone's house without knocking on the door. It's kind of rude, you know?
Well, that's
you
right.
Follow here.
Right. Well, plus, you know, souls that cross over don't necessarily hang out in this universe anymore. You know, so, you know, it may be difficult to set up a contact with them to appear in your dream, because, you know, they could be in another galaxy, another universe. You know, people are busy on the other side. I know it sounds silly, but they have a life.
You know, I really don't like the word dream at all, because I call them actual lessons. They're visitations. You know, we do go out of our body. And so I don't like the word dream, because I think it's misunderstood. For me, it's like my time to learn, my time to get insight, direction.
Heal.
I get to visit my family members who've crossed over, because at that point in time, when you're out of your body, you're vibrating at their frequency anyway. They don't want to lower their frequency and appear to us in this world. It's really hard for them to do that.
Right.
Even though they can, they don't want to.
Who blames them? And with the way the field is shrinking, you know, it's going to get harder and harder for them to come through. I mean, even Michael Ray Kia, you know, of the Joseph books, who, you know, is a co-host on my show too. You know, mm-hmm. The people that channeled through him said that it's become more and more difficult to come through to him because mm-hmm. of all the negative energy on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's from these powerful beings that are channeling some of the best books I've ever read, mm-hmm. imagine, you know, Uncle Joe or Aunt Mary trying to get through mm-hmm. when we're in such deep caca. So,
yeah, well, they can actually travel through a vortex that's very protected so that they can beam right to us. And then we can, you know, one of the things you want to do is do a very quick meditation before you go to sleep at night, mm-hmm. and your dreams are actually clearer. And so, I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm really tired before I go to bed, so I don't meditate before I go to bed. I'll just say, Daddy, I want to visit you tonight, so when you can come through, let me know. And all of a sudden, one day I'll just see his face, and I'm fine with that. There doesn't even need to be communication at all. But it's, you know, because I do a lot of mediumship work, and so I know what it's like on the other side, and I keep asking. I want to know more, because this way I can tell my clients what it's like to be back home again.
Right.
You know, and one of the things I learned is that there's a really good movie that you should see. Oh, my gosh, what's it called? It's with Timothy. Oh, gosh. Okay, I should have been prepared for this one. But maybe in the next show I'll bring it to you. This is a movie I saw where he actually dies because he's saving two people, and then it shows him on the other side, and it's like, wow, whoever did this research knows what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He decides he wants to reincarnate again. He runs into his old parents in another place. You know, they knew he was very skilled as a musician, and he was hitchhiking, and they pick him up. And as he's staring at this window, as they make a stop, you know, for gas and stuff, and there's a store nearby that's got a saxophone, and he used to play saxophone. So as he's staring at them, they decide to buy it for them because they just get a good feeling about it. So this book is about reincarnation. It's about what it's like on the other side. It's got, the Kelly McGillis and Timothy, he was a big star back then, but it just went on DVD now, so I bought it. I have so many DVDs right now because and they're alphabetized because I'm OCD, of course, and I have to have everything organized. But I'll get it to you in the next one.
All right, well, you get it to me, and I'll forward it to the listeners. You know, I wanted to tell you as a medium, it's interesting. I don't think that you, maybe you do. I've been watching General Hospital on and off for the 56 years it's on TV. And all that time, never once have they ever touched anything spiritual or psychics or mediums or anything like that. And just about 3 months ago, they rolled in two psychics characters on the show. And they're not denigrating them. These psychics are dead on for what they're telling some of the characters on the show. And I was like, wow, I've lived long enough to see this happen. So I thought that in a way they were going to make it look bad. Like some people that I don't want to name because I want to stay in a good mood today. But it's actually well done. So here's the way, you know, I'm going to give people a quick synopsis on how to work with your dreams. First of all, I like to give my dreams a title, like a movie title. If you can look at your dreams as a movie and just name it. And then I used to teach people to put a date on it. I mean, this doesn't have to be a long drawn out thing. And then just type up whatever parts of the dream you remember. And then try to suck it down to one sentence. What do you think that means? And then maybe 2 weeks later, go back and look at that and see what changed in your life. Did it affect your life in any way? Was it precognitive? Was it a premonition? This is a fun way to work with your dreams. Think of them as a movie, but I always title them as if they were a movie.
I love that concept. That's a good idea. I mean, everything that we have are tools. You know, and I'm glad that we have this show so that people can hear your tools, my tools, and then they can use them all and see what works the best for them. Because that's what we did. We studied a lot of different tools, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, my feeling, I love that concept. I think that's a really good idea because it's easy to remember a title of a movie and then it'll all come back anyway because your subconscious holds that information.
Right. And I mean, it should be fun. It shouldn't be arduous. It shouldn't be something that you dread doing. You know, and to me, spirituality should always be fun, whatever part or whatever tools you're using. If it's not fun and it's heavily complicated, guess what? It's BS. You know, when I looked at so many famous people out there and the ridiculousness and the chaotic, intense things they were trying to teach people, I looked at that and said, yeah, that's got to be bogus because real spirituality is very simple and it should be fun. And if you're not having fun and you can't wrap your head around, you know, whatever it is that they're, you know, selling in a 600-page book, move on. Okay. Because it's very natural for us to connect with our oversoul. And truthfully, when you're asleep, you are connecting to your oversoul. It's like the little part of your soul that puppets your little avatar here gets to go home for the night and reunite with the rest of you. It's almost it's almost like you're getting a charge at night, a recharge to come back and play in this, you know, this game of, I don't know what you want to call it, witchcraft, warcraft, whatever craft, shitcraft.
Well, actually have a good title and you know who the author is, The Game of Life and How to Play It.
Right.
that's Lawrence Colville Shinn. That's one of the first books I read back in the 1960s. And those books were written in 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
Really good, basics. And back then, books were like 75 pages long, so it didn't take like forever. You know?
Right. Well, you know, you have to think about it. You know, it's kind of like when I think about working with moon energies. When you think about dream energies, I would say there are probably more songs about dreams or with the word dream in it than there are even of the word moon, which there are tons. You know, dream a little dream of me, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, my dream lover, okay? I mean, the list could go on and on. Right, they're all 60s, but hey, we were in tune in the 60s. We were all smoking pot like nobody's business, so we were connected.
Look, I'm from Silicon Valley, so I know about Haight-Ashbury and all that, you know?
Right, but you know, yeah, all I have to do is dream. I mean, you know, we've always, I think we intuitively know the importance of dreams.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, you know, like Pat's mother, oh, it was just a dream, you know, forget about it. It's just a nightmare, forget about it.
No.
You know.
Don't forget about it.
But, you know, this is the problem with any type of ritual a person is using, a tool, to develop their intuition. Other people are always going to tell them, oh, you're just crazy, or that's your imagination. Well, your imagination, your imagination and your intuition are the same thing.
Absolutely. And when school teachers would say, would you stop daydreaming? Well, that's like the best thing to do.
Right.
You're getting creative. And nowadays they want to shut down that because they took away anything that had to do with right brain activity, creativity, things with your hands, even home economics and you shop and things that were, you know, right brain. They shut down those intentionally so that we are coming from that left brain. Left brain stores history. Right brain stores direction, information, and it can't lie. It can't lie.
Absolutely.
It can only tell you the truth.
Right. Well, I just told one of my friends the other day was National Left-Handed Day. So I said,
hey. I'm left-handed. I think you're left-handed too, aren't you?
Yes, I am. And I said to
him,
I said, left-handed people are the only people in their right mind.
Yeah, that's true. But I can only write with my left hand. I do everything else with the right hand.
Well, I save the dirty jobs for my right hand.
Clasp your hands, and which thumb is on top, left or right? Okay, write it down. Then cross your arms. Which arm is on top, left or right? With me, I have the right thumb on top, so that's the left brain controlling. And when I cross my arms, I have the left arm over my other arm, and that's the right brain. So therefore, my hemispheres are both balanced, which is why it explains why I'm ambidextrous.
Mm-hmm.
So if you find yourself totally right-brained, then that could be too emotional, too sensitive, too empathetic. That's not good either because it throws us off balance. If you're too left-brained, you're too intellectual and logical, and that's not good either.
Mm-hmm.
So all you have to do in order to stimulate the other side that is lacking. Like, let's say you need more intuition, then shift, you know, like when you're in line waiting for grocery shopping, just shift all your body weight to the left side, and that triggers the right brain. Pick up things with your left hand. Conversely, if you're too left brain, then you want to pick up, you know, with the opposite. If you're too right brain, then you have to pick up things with the, ouch, oh my God. My cat just jumped on my hand and scratched me. Nice. Now I have a nice little cut. Okay. So what you do is you shift over your body weight to the opposite. You start using your right hand more if you're too right brain so that you can trigger than the left brain. So it's not hard. These are little simple tools that actually work. And when you stimulate the right brain more, you're going to dream more.
Absolutely. You know, and one other thing that I've noticed, and I've told this to my Reiki students, people that get their attunements in Reiki, tell them, be prepared. Your dreams are going to change big time. You're going to be dreaming in loud technicolor, and you're going to remember things in your dreams that you never did before. And that happens with every single one of them because their attunement literally raises their vibration automatically. So they're so you're above the fray. You can see things that other people cannot. You can see things about people you never saw before. And of course, your dreams become much more intense, much more personal, and I find much more information packed. So for people out there tonight, before you go to bed, first of all, I hope you don't have a television in your bedroom. Don't use anything with a blue light for an hour before you go to sleep. That's your phones, your iPads, etc. Do something relaxing like an easy crossword puzzle, not a hard one, something easy so you don't even have to think just to make your eyes tired. You can smudge your bedroom. You can put a dream catcher there and then put your intentions out for whatever it is you want to dream, whatever it is you might want to get out of the dream, etc. and then go to sleep. And keep that recorder by your bed in the morning.
I got to interject something really quickly here because, I'm really into feng shui. Take the mirrors out of your bedroom or cover them with a sheet because you get a lot of visitations that come out of mirrors, just like a television. Cover it too. Mm-hmm. Even when I go to a hotel, they have those mirrors. I cover them up with sheets. I always ask for extra sheets and I cover them. Because I learned a long time ago, there's a lot of stuff that comes out of there. You know what they do with TV sets with white noise, right?
Right.
You can communicate. Remember that Poltergeist movie? That stuff's true.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, so
listen,
cover your mirrors, you'll sleep better.
Absolutely. Beware the mirrors. I've seen some weird shit in mirrors in some of the haunted hotels in Arizona. And I'm like, I'm never going in that hotel again. I look at those spirits and say, I'm not working. I'm just here to relax. I'm not working.
Oh, I went to that hotel at Estes Park in Colorado where King, with that author King, what's his name? He writes the horror story. Stephen King. Yeah, he was in room 216, and that's the room that's really haunted. And I didn't know that until I actually went to it through a tour, was on a radio show in Colorado, and I said, this room right here, this 216, this one, I said, this one's giving me the worst vibes ever. A lot of the people that went, because they invited listeners from the radio show, mm-hmm. and they sat out on that hallway and just watched, and they said the spirits were walking across, back and forth. That place was so haunted. But the cool thing about it is I was having a lot of knee problems and so much knee ache that I had to have a wheelchair. But as soon as I stepped into that hotel, my knees were healed completely. I could run.
Hmm.
It was the most amazing thing. I didn't get one ounce of sleep that night at all. I was completely awake because of the activity there.
Right.
The next morning during the show, I did my report and stuff, and it was unbelievable because the manager was able to validate stuff. So, that particular hotel, which is at Estes Park, Colorado, I forgot the name of it, but it's beautiful. It's beautiful, and it's really old. I suggest that people go there because it's not negative. Nothing's going to hurt you.
Right.
Nothing's going to hurt you. It's actually a fun place to be, whereas other places I've stayed, I'm get the hell out of here. It's midnight.
Right.
Checking out.
You have a better chance of being hurt on this side of reality than you do in your dream space.
Yeah, they just like to scare you because they're more like poltergeists,
And sometimes you just find some little playful spirits that want to just mess around with you just for fun. I could imagine I would like to do that. the devil made me do it. Anyway, Monica, this has been...
there's another good movie, too, called Saved by the Light, and it's a Daniel Brinkley story.
Oh, yeah.
And in the movie, the part of Daniel Brinkley is played by Eric Roberts, who's Julie Roberts' brother. And that's a good movie because you get to see what happens when he crosses over and his life review is what he learned.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. I still have an interview with him in my archives that we did on his books.
Love him. He's got that southern accent,
Yeah, he's very...
And he always says, darling.
All right, it's very endearing. Anyway, Monica, our hour has passed.
No!
I know. Don't feel bad.
I refuse.
I'll see you in the dream world.
Oh, okay. Come visit me, okay?
All right, doll. Well, thanks so much. We'll talk soon, Moni.
Okay, thanks, listeners.
You're
welcome. Bye.
Bye. Monica Sepulveda. Check her out at monica.com. And as she said, she's a medium. That's what she does. I do, you all know what I do. Everything from Reiki to the medicine wheel to dream interpretation, yada, yada, yada. I also have changed the pricing to make it a little more palatable. And of course, my subscribers always get a discount. So check that out if you want to book some time with me to interpret your dreams or anything like that. And I'll see you guys next time.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.